This is Alive with Joseph.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's proceed to read our first scripture for the day while we are still standing. Let's read from the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 25. The book of Joel chapter 2 verse 25, the New King James translation. We have it. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate the Lord in this room. Do me a favor, reach out to 5 people. You welcome them and introduce the topic of the day. Tell them, neighbor, it's your time for divine restoration. Come on, move around. I said 5 people. Reach out to 5 people. Tell them, you are welcome to church. Neighbor, it's your time for divine restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So like we said, we are talking about divine restoration this morning. And right from the beginning, when man messed up in the garden, when Adam and Eve missed it, you know, when they disobeyed God in the garden by eating the fruit which they were not supposed to eat, everything was messed up. All the foundations were kind of destroyed. And right there and right then, God's divine plan for restoration for mankind kicked in. Hallelujah. So you see that from Genesis 3 until Revelation, everything in between there is God himself now carrying out that restoration movement. Hallelujah. And that is because there's nothing that takes God by surprise. He knows the end from the beginning. Hallelujah. And before I can proceed, I don't know what is it that you have lost, whether through your carelessness, your disobedience, or your mistakes. I've got good news for you this morning, is that the God of restoration is in the house. And by his mercy and his grace, he shall restore you. Anybody believe it this morning? Hallelujah. So I'm going to just, I've got quite a lot of ground to cover, but I know you will catch up with me. Amen. So I'm going to run through what causes us as people to lose things. What causes us to lose inheritance, opportunities, even relationships, sometimes even a whole vision and assignment. People can lose it as they journey on this earth. What causes us to lose things, even God-given things? Hallelujah. Without me dwelling on them, I'm just going to mention them in passing, believing that you might likely find yourself in it. But the number one thing that causes us to lose things is disobedience to God's word. Hallelujah. You look at King Saul. He lost the kingdom because he was disobedient to God's instruction. You look at a person like Samson. There was a promise and a calling over his life, but he lost it because he disobeyed God. The instructions were so clear on the things that he should touch and not touch, on things that he should eat, on the people that he should fellowship with. But he decided to disobey God and he lost it. Should I talk about Adam? I just mentioned at the beginning that, right, Adam, when he was put in the garden because of disobedience, he lost his dominion. The Bible says both Adam and his wife were chased out of the Garden of Eden. So disobedience to God's word will cause you to lose that which God has already given you. Number two is ignorance and lack of knowledge. The book of Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge." If you don't know the value of a thing, it's easy for you and I to lose it. Another thing that causes us to lose things is when we neglect spiritual responsibility. The book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation?" Hallelujah. Another thing that causes us to lose things is bad relationships and wrong associations. I talked about Samson. He's a good example of that. Because of the people that he was related to, he ended up losing that which God had given him. And the last one is what causes us to lose things is sometimes it's simply a satanic assault. It's simply a spiritual attack. Hallelujah. You know the story of Job. Job was there, and the Bible says he was a righteous man who had not sinned. He walked uprightly with God, and the devil came after him. The book of John chapter 10, verse 10, says the thief cometh not but to kill and to destroy. Amen. So sometimes we lose things, not because we disobeyed God, not because of ignorance, but simply because we have a full-time enemy, the devil, whose mandate is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Glory to Jesus. So let's proceed with this journey. And I'm going to give you a definition of restoration. Restoration simply means returning something to its former state. That's what restoration means. But then if I have to bring in here now the Bible definition of restoration, which is what I want you to concentrate on as I keep teaching, is that it means God returning something to a former state, but often making it better. Somebody say better. And more glorious. Somebody say more glorious than it was before. And most of the times this process involves healing, total renewal, making new through Christ to bring wholeness and fulfillment. Come on, raise up that your right hand. Say, I receive divine restoration. Come on, say like you mean it. Say, I receive divine restoration. So what are the key areas that we receive restoration in? In other words, what are the things that God restores? Because your God and my God is a restorer. Number one thing, which is the most important thing, is that God restores to us our relationship with Him. So the most and the utmost important restoration you and I have to desire and always look forward to is our relationship with God. And this refers to those that have never received Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You see, this service this morning, it is a service for you for restoration, so that God can restore you back to Himself. The Bible speaking, He says, all men have sinned, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. That was the condition. But it didn't end there. It said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. What do we need to do now? It's just to accept that free gift of salvation. That's the first restoration every one of us needs to look forward to. Glory to God. So if you are here this morning, you know there's never been a time, a place that you have ever accepted the free gift of salvation. Today is the day of your salvation. As we close this service and I make an altar call, don't be ashamed. Raise up your hand. We're going to pray together and you will receive your own salvation. Glory to God. And when we talk about the relationship with God, it's not only for the unsaved, but even for the saved. Hallelujah. Paul speaking, he says, may the grace of God, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. So when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's fellowship. It's fellowship. Most of us are saved, but we have lost it when it comes to fellowship with God. We don't remember last time when we have enjoyed the fellowship with God through prayer, through the word of God. Whenever you try to pray on your own, you can't go further, you doze off. Whenever you try to read the word of God, you are yawning from beginning to the end. I'm telling you, that's a sign that somehow, somewhere, your fellowship with God is affected. And like I said, this is the most important restoration we should all look forward to. It's not the loss of business. It's not the loss of relationship or marriage. It's not the loss of money. It's not the loss of opportunities. It is this one, your fellowship with your Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And number two thing that God restores is that God restores to you and I our true identity. And when we talk about the true identity, it comes with it your worth. It comes with it your abilities, your statuses. And what makes this one quite important to me and quite crucial is that most of the times this true identity of yours and mine, most of us don't even know that we had it or we have it because we have never been part of its reality. There's never been a time we have walked in that reality. As a result, we don't know that we are not walking in it. Yes, yes, that's a dangerous part. That's a dangerous part. The Bible speaking says, I've seen, you know, an evil, an error that proceeds from the ruler. It's because the ruler did not know. As a result, he's suffering from things that he should not suffer from. He says, they know not, neither do they understand. And what has happened? The foundations of the earth, they are out of course. David speaking to us, he says, all of you, you are gods. All of you are the children of the Most High. But because you don't know, you end up dying like mere man. Something happens when somebody does not know, the enemy takes advantage of you. So one of the most important restoration, every one of us are to trust God and to receive from him through revelation and his word, is our true identity. And here's the thing about the enemy. The enemy knows how to steal very good. He's been around. He's experienced in this thing. But not only does he do that, every time the enemy steals something from you, he will always replace it with something that's fake. Yes, he replaces it with a counterfeit. So there's no gap. It feels as if that area of your life is taken care of. But the truth is, it has not been taken care of with God's perfect will. The enemy will take away from you joy. And he doesn't leave you empty. He gives you happiness. Now, just because you are happy, you think, okay. But inside of you, there is no joy. Joy is of the heart. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, taking care of your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. How many times have we seen people whom you will say, he was happy last week. He was just happy yesterday. How could he end up committing suicide? Because what you saw was happiness. The enemy had stolen joy, which is from the inside. Come on, raise up your right hand. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive my true identity. You've heard the story of that elder son. The one I'm referring to is, there's a story of the lost son who left, you know, took what was his inheritance from his father and went far off to spend it. But there was another one, the elder son, who was in the house. I call him, he was the last one, but in the house. Lost in the house. He didn't know all along that everything that he had there was his own. And there he was living less than what belonged to him. How do I know this? When the lost son returned, out of the abundance of his heart, he spoke out. He started, you know, shouting at the father. He says, how could you do this? I've been faithful to you. Never in one day have I caused you trouble. But not even one day you've given me, you know, a small goat, a kid, for me to eat with my friends. But this, you're useless. This, your crazy boy comes and you're throwing in a party. And the father was so concerned. He's like, is that how you felt all along? Let me tell you something. All this has always been yours. If you wanted, you would have just taken and have a good time. So there he was in the house where everything was. But he didn't know his true identity. So he was doing everything trying to please the father. So that maybe one day he would give me a goat. Not knowing that it was all at his disposal. You see, my prayer for you this morning is that God will reveal you to yourself. That you will not live lower than what heaven has paid for you. Heaven has paid too much for you to still live the way you are living. I decree and declare that the wholeness of God will manifest in you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Should I talk about the woman who had a bended back? The Bible says he came into a service like this, but it was on a Sunday. Then Jesus healed her from her back, which was bended. And when he was done with that, the Pharisees tried to attack Jesus because of what he did, because they didn't believe that healing should take place on a Sunday. This is what Jesus responded to them. He says, this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, why should she remain like this? Because I know that you people, even when your donkeys fell in a ditch, even when it's on a Sunday, you still go and pull them out. How much more this one, who is the daughter of Abraham? Her status for being the daughter of Abraham, it means she was not supposed to stay in that situation. Should I talk about the Shunammite woman? You know the Shunammite woman, the one who received Elisha. Says, I perceive that this one is the man of God. So she received him and built a room on top of her own house. And then later on, as a response, the prophet of God called her in, said, "What can we do for you since you have done this for us?" This was her answer. She says, "You don't have to do anything. I'm cool. I stay amongst my own people." It took Gehazi to say to him that, no, actually she does not have a child. It's because having no child to her, it had become normal. She had learned to live without it. And yet the promise is that God will increase us and our children. He says, "Sing, O barren woman, sing, for many are the children of the barren." That's the promise. But because she didn't know, somehow she kept living lower than what God had given her. Come on, say after me, say, "I receive my true identity in Christ Jesus." A.W. Tozer said this. He says, "The Lord restores not just what you lost, but what you were created to be." Hallelujah. Somebody receive it this morning. Say, "I receive my restoration." Another thing that God restores to you and I is joy and peace. In the book of Psalms chapter 51, verse 12, David praying, he says, "Restore to me, O God, the joy of my salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Hallelujah. And why is joy important? It's because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So which means every time you lose joy, you are losing strength. You are losing stamina. That's why as a child of God, always hold on to your joy. Don't let circumstances take away your joy. Don't let people take away your joy. Hold on to your joy. Remember I said at the beginning that joy is not happiness. Hallelujah. It is that which is from inside of you to say, "I will rejoice in the Lord." Why? "I know my Redeemer liveth. I know God is with me. Therefore, I refuse to be sorrowful. I rejoice in the Lord always." Hallelujah. Number four thing that God always restores to us is God restores to us our health. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 17, he says, "I will restore health to you and heal your wounds." He says, "I will restore health to you and heal your wounds." You see, at the end of the day, for you and I to fulfill purpose, we still need this body. And for us to be able to fulfill it effectively, it means our bodies have to be all right. Our bodies have to be healthy. That's why as a child of God, always lay hold and believe God for health. Confess the scriptures that says with long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. And maybe you are here this morning as I'm sharing this word. You are going through one sickness or disease or another. I decree over your life that God himself, he will restore health to you and heal all your wounds in the mighty name of Jesus. I speak over everyone going through one sickness or disease that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Therefore, walk in your total healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, say after me. Say, "My health is restored." Say it loud and clear. Say, "My health is restored." Hallelujah. Another thing that God restores is that God is able to restore to you and I fortune and possessions. Life happens, and when it does, sometimes you and I can lose our fortune and our possession. You know a guy called Job, in the book of Job 42, verse 10, he says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Hallelujah. So this is to say that God doesn't just retain what was lost. He restores more than what was taken, and often in a so much better state than before. Hallelujah. Another thing that God restores, I take this from the scripture that we read together when we were beginning, is the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 25. And that is to say God restores, believe you me, God restores times and season. That's the kind of God that we serve. You know, you've heard they say time lost is never gained. I've got news for you. The book of Joel chapter 2 verse 25. God himself speaking. He says, "And I will restore to you not the seconds, minutes, hours, or days. He says, I'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worms and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. I don't even know what type of worms some of these. The only worm I know here is the locust. But the Bible says God is able to restore. Ah, somebody shout it loud and say, I receive divine restoration. Hallelujah. You remember when I was beginning, I was talking about one of the most important restoration you and I need is our restoration with our relationship with God. Amen. I believe the second restoration every man and woman needs is this one, the restoration of time. Because most of the time, you only find out you have lost time after time is lost. You look back at your life and look at some decisions that you made that have ended up delaying your life with some years, some months. You look back at some relationship that you might have gotten into, and somehow you wonder, what could you do to regain back the time that you lost? I've got good news for you. God is able to restore back to you every time and years that you lost. I don't know who I'm talking to. You, as you're listening to me, you can agree with what I'm saying, to say, yes, indeed. There are times I look back at the things and the decisions that I've made. I wish I could reverse time. I'm here to tell you that God is able to restore you back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he does that by giving you speed. What do I mean? That which should have taken you years to achieve, by God's divine speed, he allows you to achieve it in a small time. Those that had overtaken you and you thought that they are so far in life that you can't catch up with them, like Elijah, God is able to put speed under your feet that you are able to overtake your overtakers. Receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Another thing God is able to restore is that God is able to restore honor and reputation. You know a woman called Rahab, both Pastor Rams as well as Pastor Maxwell mentioned these people, to say, here they are, but the book of James chapter 2 verse 25, he says, and the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute. Oh, this translation says the prostitute, but Mr. Rams read a cool translation, says the harlot. The book of James chapter 2 verse 25, it says, Rahab the prostitute was considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. Hallelujah. And as you keep reading the Bible, as time went and time passed by, you realize that the same Rahab ended up being part of the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't get better than that. God is able to restore back your honor. God is able to restore back your reputation. Billy Graham, speaking on this topic, he says, God specializes in taking broken things and restoring them for his glory. Hallelujah. To any other person that you are here and you know that your life has been broken in a way that it will only take God to restore back your honor and your reputation, I speak it over you in the name of Jesus, that receive back your honor and your reputation in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Another thing that God is able to restore is that God is able to restore purpose, vision, and calling. After Jesus died, and remember, he was in the grave for 3 days. The disciples and those that followed him didn't know if Jesus was truly going to rise. The best they could do was to wait on time. And something happened in this season that only the Gospel of John recorded it. It's quite a long scripture, but I'll just mention so that you can check it out at your own time. The Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 1 to 14. Says Peter decided to go back fishing. Let me remind you that when Peter had an encounter with Jesus, one of the things that Jesus did to him was that he made Peter resign from fishing. He said, from now onwards, you will no longer catch fish. You will catch men. You will be fishers of men. But because of discouragement, just within those 3 days, Peter literally decided to go back fishing again. It's almost as if he was given up on every other promise that was made upon Peter. Can I remind you who Peter was? Peter was the same guy that Jesus literally said that you are Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. So this guy is literally carrying the whole global church of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of guy who decided to give up. And the God of restoration showed up for him. Hallelujah. As they were still fishing, the Bible says they saw a man walking on the shore. And the man was friendly. He said, guys, have you caught any fish? They said, no, we didn't catch any. There's no way you're going to catch any. You left your assignment in Christ Jesus. He says, okay, all right, then no need to be there. Come in. And by the time they arrived on the shore, they found that this guy had already prepared some good breakfast. And the closer they get, they realized that it was Jesus. And Jesus did not come to condemn Peter, but he came to restore Peter. That's the kind of God that we serve. And they started it well. He said, Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord. You know that I do. You know that I do. He says, okay, then feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? He says, you know that I do. He says, feed my... So as Peter was confessing, Jesus kept empowering him. I don't know who you are. You know for sure that you have left the place of your assignment. You know the things and the places and the things that God has literally made it so clear regarding you, the things that you are to do to serve him and fulfill the purpose which God has called you to do. And somehow you have lost it. Maybe because it didn't work at the beginning, at the first time that you tried. I've got good news for you. The God of restoration is in the house. And is not here to condemn you, but to restore you. Hallelujah. Raise up your right hand. Say, I receive my divine restoration. Hallelujah. And the last thing that God is able to restore is that God restores to you and I human relationships. God is able to restore human relationships. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11, Paul speaking, he says, only Luke is with me. Then he says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Hallelujah. Now this Mark here is referring to John Mark. And by the time you do your Bible study, you go to Acts 13:13, you realize these people literally parted ways, not in a good way. But then in the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, you see that relationship being restored again. Hallelujah. Most of you are here, you know that through the way you treated some relationships, you ended up losing that which was valuable, that which you know God had sent your way. This morning, by the mercy of God, I decree and declare that every relationship that you lost through carelessness, ignorance, disobedience, whatever it is, God is restoring it back to your way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. God is able to restore. Glory to Jesus. Are we learning something so far? Are we learning something so far? Is your faith rising this morning for restoration? So I'm going to now run through how to access the restoration of God. Because he has already given it to us. Hallelujah. You see, when we talk about restoration, restoration is one of those pillars of divine help that God releases to the believer for a turnaround and victory. So it's already given to you and I. Hallelujah. He says he has given us all blessings that pertain to life and godliness. God has already released to you and I. It is only through knowledge that we're able to take, only through knowledge that we're able to activate. So how to access restoration of God? Number one, it's self-examination. Somebody say self-examination. I did talk about the prodigal son in the book of Luke chapter 15. And once again, it's a long story. You go check it out when you get a chance. Luke chapter 15 from verse 11 to 32. When the young son had taken his inheritance and left the father and go to a far country, the Bible says he used every one of his inheritance on some reckless living to the point that he was literally staying and eating with the pigs. He had hit, you know, low as it can get. When he was there in that condition, the Bible says, and this young man came to himself. Not that he saw a vision, not that an angel came to him. You see, there is a way trouble puts some sense in your heart. Trouble has a way of keep bringing you sober into the reality of what's happening in and around you. And it was where this young man had reached. The Bible says, and he came to himself. I don't know who you are. I've got a message for you. It's high time you come back to yourself. And he said, how many servants does my father have who have, you know, food to eat and to spare? And I'm here eating with the pigs. This is what I will do. I'll go back to my father and I'll tell him. So he started putting together a repentant speech, which is coming from his heart. He said, I will tell him, Father, make me like one of your servants. Don't call me your child again. He says, Father, make me. Hallelujah. The interesting thing is when he was taking his inheritance, he said, Father, give me. But when it was time for repentance, he says, Father, make me. And that's the difference. Hallelujah. That's the difference. Somebody lift up your voice and say, Father, make me. Lift up your voice and say, Father, make me. Hallelujah. Charles Stanley says, when we learn from experience, the scars of sin can lead us to restoration and a renewed intimacy with God. Number two thing that can help us to access the restoration of God is repentance. Somebody say repentance. This word does not only address those that are sinners, those that have not received salvation. It's a simple word that means return back to the top. You know, you've heard the word penthouse. It's because that house is on top. So repent, return back to the top. The Bible is speaking in the book of 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, repentance. It says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Healing there, it's also a form of restoration. In the book of Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So repentance is a key to restoration. Repentance is key to restoration. You know, Zacchaeus, when it was time for Jesus to pass by their place and he was climbing on the tree, and Jesus said to him, come down, today I'll go and feed and eat at your house. He couldn't believe it, but Jesus came into his house. When Jesus was in the house of Zacchaeus, do you know what Zacchaeus did? He started giving back that which he had taken by crooked ways, because he was the tax collector. He says, everyone whom I've crooked before, I will give you four times. That was Zacchaeus himself repenting because of the presence of Jesus into his house. And then Jesus said something very extraordinary. He says, today salvation has come into this house. Says restoration has come into the house of Zacchaeus. Why? Because Zacchaeus has repented. Another thing that brings about restoration in our lives is prayer. Somebody say prayer. In the book of 1 Samuel verse 30 verse 18, it says, so David inquired of the Lord. In other words, David made a prayer of inquiry unto God, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered him with an instruction. It says, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fear recover all. Hallelujah. That's the power of prayer. That's why in our life, church, we don't joke with prayer. Because on the platform of prayer, we are able to get restoration. And if I was to bring you back a bit to what had happened here, was that David had left his village, I'll call it like that, and go to fight battles that didn't belong to him, because he went to fight with the Philistines. So he had left his wife and his children behind. By the time he came from such battles, the Bible says he found a place on fire. His wife's children had been taken by the enemy. And all the people that were with David started crying. The Bible says they cried until they had no strength to cry at all. In the midst of that, they even thought of and discussed of stoning David. But the Bible says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then David prayed. And after he prayed, an instruction was given. And you want to know how the ending was? By the supernatural working of God, David recovered all. Hallelujah. That's why we don't joke with prayer. Because on the platform of prayer, we take with us our recovery. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's celebrate Jesus. Another element for us to access the restoration of God is faith. The book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 26, it talks about the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible said, for she said in her heart that if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She had faith in Jesus. So much faith that she believed that by touching that which was touching Jesus, she was going to receive her healing. And guess what happened? When she touched that hem, she was healed. Hallelujah. She was restored back again to the point that Jesus said, somebody touched me. It was in a crowd. A lot was happening. But her faith was able to touch Jesus. You see, as we are gathered in here, as many as we are, as we are gathered online there, God is able to see your heart. And with your faith, you can take from God that which you trust him. It does not depend on your neighbor. It doesn't depend on anyone else. It is you and God. As I'm speaking, you just believe God and say, I receive my restoration. And so it shall be to you according to your faith. Hallelujah. Smith Wigglesworth says, God's power will always bring restoration where faith refuses to quit. Come on, say, I will not quit. Come on, say, I will not quit. Another thing that brings restoration is obedience to God. The book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 4, it talks about Naaman. Naaman was a chief commander of the army, and the Bible says he had leprosy on him. And through the advice of the girl in the house, he was taught to go to Israel, where a prophet was going to pray for him for his restoration. And when he got there, the prophet didn't even meet him. He just sent a word. Said, tell him to go into the river Jordan and wash himself 7 times, and he shall be restored. The Bible says Naaman literally felt demoted and kind of humbled and embarrassed by such an instruction, because according to his understanding, if that was the case at his home, he had better rivers to go into. Until somebody says, If he had told you a hard thing, would you not have done it? Just do this one now. And the Bible says, Haman walked into the river Jordan, washed himself 7 times, and his skin was restored like that of a newborn baby. I pray for you this morning that whichever area that you have been struggling with obedience to God, God grants you the grace and the ability to obey him in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the book of Luke chapter 5 verse 4, when Jesus found Peter struggling to catch fish, he said, we've struggled all night. Jesus just sent to them instruction. He says, throw your nets to the deep. And when they had done that, they caught multitude. It was through their obedience to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another thing that's very important that helps us to access the restoration that God has already provided is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Somebody say forgiveness. The book of Job chapter 42 verse 10, I read this scripture. It says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. This is very important, because when Job was going through a hard time, his friends were not helping at all. They were adding to the sort, because they were also accusing him. They were literally trying to convince him, you must have sinned. You must have done something. These are friends that should have been on his side. Pray with him. Encourage him. No. It was three of them. They were literally rotating. One finishes, another one comes in. So no wonder. It was only after Job had prayed for them. You can only pray for somebody that you have forgiven, that his restoration came in. Hallelujah. Child of God, let me tell you something. Unforgiveness is not worth you holding on to. You have to let go of the people that have wronged you. And most of the times, they will not even officially come to apologize. As you are hearing me now, you should be letting it go already. Because it is the will of God concerning you and I in Christ Jesus. You and I have been forgiven, isn't it? So even as the Father has forgiven us of our sins, we too should forgive those that wrong against us. This is so deep that you can go through 40 days of fasting. If you are still holding on to unforgiveness, you will not receive restoration. Serious stuff. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, neighbor, just forgive. Tell them, I know it's hard, but it can be done. Forgive. Victoria Austin says, when life gets hard, you can either get bitter or move forward. You cannot do both. And here's the thing about bitterness. Bitterness keeps you stuck. As a result, you have to let it go and embrace God's restoration for your future. Come on, say, I forgive. Another thing that releases restoration in our lives is thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead for 3 days. Lazarus is stinking. Lazarus is dead. And the first thing Jesus did, he says, Father, I thank you that you hear me always. If you and I are to be disciples of Jesus to learn from his ways, we will then find out that God, Jesus here was activating the principle of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, no matter how dead it looks, make sure you don't lose your thanksgiving. Thank him in the valley. Thank him when things are going good. Thank him when things are going wrong. Thank him because through your thanksgiving, God is able to restore even that which is dead. Hallelujah. Last but one is word-based prophetic utterances. You know the story of Ezekiel. The Bible says Ezekiel was brought into the valley of bones. The Bible says it was very dry. Somebody say very dry. Say very dry. You see, if you think you have been in a hopeless situation, it cannot beat this one. Because Ezekiel was not put among his dead people. No. It's another thing for a body to die and still have on it flesh. And if this was bones that were scattered. The Bible says a limb was there, a scar was there. That was the kind of the situation Ezekiel was finding, and God threw him there. And God asked him a question. He said, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel, being as clever as you and I are, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He said, Lord, you alone know. Hands for Ezekiel. Hallelujah. And in that chapter of Ezekiel 37, verse 7, the Bible says, Ezekiel said, and I prophesied as I was commanded. You see, that's the key. You just have to prophesy as you are commanded. He didn't say, and I prophesy as I calculated. He did not say, and I prophesied as I felt encouraged. No. He says, and I prophesied as I was commanded. I know you've been without Job for a long time, and it seems jobs are even going, opportunities for jobs keep going down and down. And what do you need to do? You just say, you just have to prophesy as you are commanded. Hallelujah. I know you are there. You know that you don't know what to do, where to go, who to go to. You are literally in a hopeless situation as we speak. But God ordered your footsteps to come into our live church this morning because there is restoration for you. All you have to do is to prophesy as you are commanded. Hallelujah. Come on, say after me. Say, I prophesy restoration, Say, I prophesy restoration of everything that I have lost. Come on, say, I prophesy restoration of everything that the enemy stole. Come on, declare, say, I prophesy restoration. You prophesy as you are commanded. Hallelujah. And if you follow this scripture very well, you will realize that there was quite a good process. He prophesied the first time. The Bible says a bone came to another bone. So there was so much noise happening in the valley. So by the time he was done, what do we have? We have skeletons standing. Amen. And God says, lift your voice, son of man. Prophesy to these bones. Another instruction. It says, let tendons and sinews, whatever they call, let them come to you. And as he prophesied, before you know it, there's flesh now on the skeletons. But what are we seeing? We are now looking at dead bodies. Something happens when you prophesy, child of God. You might not see a change, but something is happening in the spirit. That's why we don't give up. That's why you come to morning prayers, we say, Ephata, doors be open. The door is opening. Next week, we are back again. Ephata, doors be open. It's opening. You might not see it, it's opening. By the third week, Ephata, because your doors are doors for nations. Some of you, your doors are doors for continents. Some of you, your doors are doors for global impact. So one Ephata will not do it. You have to keep prophesying as you are commanded. Hallelujah. We do not give up. We know God is able. We know God is working. He says we will surely reap if we do not give up. Hallelujah. For God is not unjust to forget the good work that you do and you continue doing for his saints. If you do not give up, you will surely reap. Hallelujah. Say, I prophesy as I am commanded. Job 14 verse 7 says, for there is hope for a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branches thereof will not cease. Throw the root wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof down in the ground. And yet through the scent of water, it shall burn and bring forth thoughts like plants. Come on, stand up to your feet. I feel like it's time to prophesy.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.